have in the studio Emma Marnes. Emma, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. Oh,
hang on. I'll turn you up. That's because we've been talking for about half an hour.
Been having a lovely chat. I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
It's great to have you in. Look, when I had a quick look at the book and I was like, goodness me, there's a lot to get through. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to actually talk about the book. But first, you're an Essex girl, right?
I am. Yeah. Very proud. I was born in Basildon Hospital and I grew up in Billericay. My parents are still there now.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice one. Mm-hmm. Listening in. Hi.
Yes. Hello, Mum and Dad.
Yeah, because you went to school as well in Billericay, didn't you?
I did. I went to Mayflower. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How does it seem that long ago?
It does. It seems like 1,000 years ago. And, and every time I visit my parents' house, I have to drive past the school and I see it. And I always sort of nudge my husband and go, oh, you know, stuff went on. It's like, yes, Emma, I know you've said. But it's all the memories live with you forever, don't they?
I know. And you've got a lot going on there, haven't you? It's all happening at once for you, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yeah. I had a baby last year, which is exciting. She's lovely. She's beautiful. She's one this month. I'm not okay. And we're also, me and my husband are buying a house. And I also work as well, which is wonderful. I work at the University of Essex. Obviously the book has just come out, which is
all
quite a big thing. All at the same time.
You won't know what to do, will you, next year when it's all calmed down, to be fair. Yeah. Look, do you want to sort of set the scene? Because the subject matter as well. It's a really difficult one and actually something that not a lot of people will know about.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise to me actually when I came across it, and I felt it was very odd because I found an article on the BBC by Deirdre Finity. It was called The Girls of Bessborough, and that was when I read about it. And I feel like somewhere in the back of my mind I kind of knew that it happened. There's an episode of Call the Midwife, I think, where it's sort of mentioned one of these places in England, but the Irish Catholic Church, this forced adoption scandal took place over almost 100 years. Mm-hmm. The home that this book particularly looks at is Bessborough on the outskirts of Cork City. It was opened in 1922 and didn't close until 1997 when I was 6 years old, and I'm not an old woman. Mm-hmm. So that's very recent history. What happened was that any unwed mothers, unwed pregnant women, were just forced to go. There was, you know, your family would throw you out. You'd be forced to leave your employment. It was such a shame, such a scandal. Mm. The blurb of the book says that pregnancy outside of marriage was a crime worse than murder, and it really, really was. It was during this time a very socially conservative country, and people don't think of it like that. You know, they think of Ireland as being very green and Dublin and pubs and beautiful music, and it is like that. It's an incredible country, and I lived there happily for 10 months. It was wonderful. But all of this happened during this period of time, and there were 15 of these homes in total across Ireland during that century.
Yeah, it's crazy. As I say, that word shame, it sort of makes you feel shuddered. And I think that's what these women felt as well, shame themselves, right? Because they were all sort of secretive homes, weren't they, as well? So it's a really sort of like interesting story all the way through. And you say almost like 100 years. It doesn't seem, even the name of it, Pregnant for Ireland, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Oh, Pregnant from Ireland,
Pregnant from Ireland. Oh, I'm getting all my words mixed up because I feel so passionate about it. It's like one of those things when you start looking in it and you want to delve deeper and deeper and deeper, and the scandal gets worse and worse and worse, and how this must have affected people's lives even now, sort of like the grandchildren moving on that as well, not knowing the full story of the shame, essentially.
Yeah, it's devastating what women had to go through, and bearing in mind that, you know, some women would have had relationships and things, but others were there through violence, were pregnant through violence and crime and things like that. They were treated just the same. There was no sympathy. There was no effort to track down the perpetrators of the crime that led to the pregnancy. The birth fathers in this situation, nothing ever happened to them. They suffered no such punishment. Mm. A lot of the babies were essentially sold in exchange for donations to first and second generation Irish Catholic families in America and Australia, and thousands of people have since traced their genealogy back to these homes in Ireland. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The ripples will continue for generations, because women, you know, I mean, it did, it, they were open until the 90s. So, you know, women...
like the 90s.
That's... I know. It seems extraordinary. And you think if you were 15 and had a baby in 1975, it's, you know, those women are hopefully still with us. And they may have gone on, remarried, had more kids and didn't tell anyone, which... You know, it's unimaginable that the ripples through society, through history, through generations of these sorts of things.
Because I mean, they've not even got all the documents regarding the numbers, because a lot of the schemes were set up by local councils and religious charities, but some were literally going from the parents straight to the priests as well. So there's no actual we can't work out what the numbers are. Oh, when you work that out, it's just absolutely horrendous. Now, how do you go from doing that to then thinking, I need to write a book? Because, you know, it's not easy subject matter, you know. It will affect you when you're delving into things like that.
Yeah, it was... So I always wanted to write. I used to be a journalist. I did an English degree. It was always there. I just... couldn't think of anything. I used to look at these people who wrote these incredible novels and these amazing things, and they'd have these ideas, and I'd think, this isn't fair. Where is my big idea? Where's my big lightning flash? Why haven't I had it? What's it going to be? And I thought, maybe it's not ever coming. So I became a journalist, and people brought their stories to me, and I was like, that's easy. I'll just do that. And then I moved to Dublin when I was 27 to go and scratch a huge itch that I had to go and do this MPhil in Irish writing at Trinity College. And I was living there when I first came across this article by Deirdre Finity. I have horrendous insomnia. I couldn't sleep. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was lying in bed looking at the BBC app, you know, the long reads. And
as
thought,
you do.
I should do. 3 o'clock in the morning, postgraduate student. I don't sleep or eat or anything. I was reading this thing and I thought, oh my goodness, like, this is horrific. This is terrible. And it was, and the journalist who wrote that article has since written a book, which recently, I think it came out last year, already winning awards. Deirdre Finity is a powerhouse. I love her. But at a slightly more acceptable hour later that day, I went to my Irish landlady who lived next door and spoke to her about it and said, you know, I've been reading this thing about this thing. And she said, yeah, it's, you know, it's dreadful. Obviously, we do all kind of know about it now. And then she told me this story, and I won't go into too many details of it because this is a person's real history, but she told me the story of a friend of hers who found out in her 40s that she was adopted.
Wow.
And she found out because of photographs. She found photographs of her mother at a time when she should have been visibly pregnant, but she wasn't. And that was how she found out. And I just thought that was such an interesting idea about how photographs, you know, they're wonderful. You know, your wedding photos, think about things like that. You know, we've got, I don't even want to know how many millions of photos of our child that we've taken. You know, they're wonderful, but they live with you forever if you let them. And I thought that was such an interesting idea. And then I don't know what happened to me. Something just happened and I saw it clear in my, I was like, two women, two stories, one Bessborough, one other, some other way, like this, my landlady's friend. And I was like, two babies, two, you know, the outcome is the same, but we have to follow two lines of history, two stories, two children through adulthood who were adopted. We have, that's it. That's the thing. And it just came. And I'd waited all of those years. I was like, this is it. Oh my God.
Was it that clear as day though? Could you actually visualise it as well?
It was so weird. And I saw them, the novel begins with them in the back of a car. And I saw them in the back of this car. I can't explain. And I was like, we have to start it. They're in the car. And that was it. And she was still carrying on chatting. And I'm thinking, come on, I need to get home. So I ran next door, like, you know, home, and got a notepad and started writing it down. And from scribbled words came the walk. And that was it. That was how it happened.
But even one of the protagonists in your book, you've got a story with how you got the name. Is it Murray?
Oh, yeah. So I've had different people tell me how to pronounce it. I pronounce it Mari. Right. I say it Mari.
Yeah.
But I've heard people say it Moira and Myra. So however you hear it in your head when you read the book is fine. But yeah, so Mari's name comes from a play by Brian Friel called Translations, which I read for the first time at my A-levels at Mayflower High School. Shout out Mayflower High School.
And
I'm going, I'm going back there actually in September to speak to the new crop of A-level students.
Really,
I asked if they would let me in to to tell them, like, do work hard at your A-levels, you might write a book.
Yeah, no, but it's
you know,
good
20 years later.
You can relate, can't you? When you go back and say, look, you can be anything you want to be. And I guess, that's wonderful. I love that you're doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That's another story.
That's it. Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get there in a minute. Sorry, back to the book.
So it was the first piece of Irish literature I think I ever read or ever studied.
Sure.
And the girl in the play is called Mari. And she, you know, wants to learn English and dreams of a better life and wants to break out of the small place that she lives and go and do things. And just that, I don't know, the whole idea of her just stuck with me, I suppose, for a long time. And then when I started to write this, I was, you know, scanning my brain for Irish names. And I thought, well, Mari, it's got to be her. Where it all began. Because I wouldn't have been in Dublin if it wasn't for studying that play and going, oh, I love this, and going on to do the English degree and then going on to do that. It's all, as much as I want to, I tell people my life has been nuts, it's been colourful, it's gone in a million different directions, but actually so much of it has been really linear if we really look at it. Stuff like that.
It was meant to be. It's written in the stars sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah.
So listen, I've got loads to talk to you about still, but can we have a little track? Now, I did ask you, so I know which one it is, but I did ask you for a request. It's a cracker.
What is it? Go on. It's The Commitments, Mustang Sally.
One of your favourites, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. Right, we are back here on Phoenix FM Drive with me, Joe Bailey, and my guest, Emma Mons. Emma, how are you doing? You was having a bit of a boogie there. We was getting we forgot that you was on the radio, didn't we?
Yeah, at least this is not filmed, that's all right.
Well, I am recording a little bit of it, but little detail. But listen, can you, because we've spoken a lot about sort of like how you came about writing the book, can you just read a snippet for us to kind of sum it up for the listeners?
Yeah, sure. So this is taken right from the beginning, so no spoilers. This is our first real introduction to Alva and Mari, who are our two heroines, I suppose. The two girls sat in the back of the car as it rattled through the darkness. Their driver was a stranger, and their destination was unknown to them. The girls knew, though, that they were further from home now than they had ever been before, and the darkness was such that any fragment of the outside was invisible. More so, they'd probably never be going back to where they'd come from. But truly, that was the least of their concerns. Their crimes, the crimes that had led them to this, were worse than murder.
Oh, I didn't want you to stop then. Oh, I forgot where I was then. Yeah, you got an audio book coming out as well, because would be superb as well. You've got the great voice for it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, we can't have me read it. God, no.
Why not? Someone
Moira Stewart type person.
Oh, Moira Stewart. Oh, I didn't
listen to her on Classic FM. Oh.
I know. Forget about the music. You just wanted to keep talking, don't you? Anyway, we're digressing again. Yeah. It's about you and it's about your book. Even the artwork on that as well. Where did you come from the art? Because there's two pairs of shoes. And as soon as I'm looking that, I'm getting a little bit most just looking at that, knowing what the book's about.
So my publishers are fantastic, Cranthorpe Milner. They've been superb, and they asked me what I would like for the cover if I had any ideas, and because it's called The Walk, the name The Walk comes from the practice that Bessborough had of making these poor women go and get their children from the nursery and walk them up this long corridor to the front door, and they would just take them. Like the nuns would take the children, like snatch babies from their arms and give them to the new adoptive parents and shut the door and no goodbye, and that was it. Horrendous. Mm. So that's why it's called The Walk. But because of that, I wanted shoes.
Yeah.
There was a couple of books. The 13th Tale was one that has, I think it's like two little girls, but you can only see them from the waist down. So shoes and I just really liked that. And so I said, well, could you find me some shoes, like 1970s shoes? And that was what they came back with. And they were, of course, very dramatic red, which we love. I had the idea for the shoes and they did the magic as theirs. It was brilliant.
That's fabulous. Well, look, you're already getting rave reviews already and talking about that. You went to a coffee shop. I love the name, a novel coffee shop.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Right. So it was a free event, wasn't it? For MenCap as well, the charity. Yeah.
So the novel coffee shop in Southend, is run by MenCap, and they have a little charity shop next door.
Oh, there we go.
So it's
all linking up.
It is, yeah. So MenCap, if you don't know, are a fantastic charity that work really hard to make sure that people with learning disabilities have healthy and happy and fulfilled lives, and it's a wonderful place. But it's a bookshop and it's also a coffee shop, hence the name. And they hosted a little event for me, which was wonderful, and they kept my friends and family happy with tea and coffee and cake, and it was beautiful. And I just did, I signed some books and I read a little bit, and I gave people a bit of a history lesson about Ireland and about all of this stuff. stuff. And yes, and I got two whole questions, which was nice.
Oh, was any of them unexpected? Was
No, not really.
But listen, look, I want to talk more about the book. I can see a film in it as well. You know, if you close your eyes and you can see the book, even just looking at the book, well, as you say, with just the shoes on it. Look, I've got my eyes closed now. Sorry, Emma, I'm not looking at you. You can picture it. What do you reckon is next? Is there a sequel in that?
No, it's very much its own story. And right. I wrote it that way. But funnily enough, I did another interview on Monday and he asked me the same question. It was like, do you want a film or a series? And I said yes, but it would have to be something. Have you seen Derry Girls?
Yes.
Do you watch that? Nothing has done more to educate people, I don't think, in this country about the Troubles and the Good Friday Agreement more than that program. Yeah. It was incredible, so emotional, so absolutely brilliant. And I would be happy to see the book turned into a series or a film or something if it could be as educational and impactful and meaningful as that.
Yeah.
A couple of films have been made already. There was Philomena, obviously, and The Magdalene Sisters. That's quite old now. So it has been done, but it would have to be...
I can see a series.
Yeah, I think I could see a series in it too.
Yeah, especially like when like obviously like you know there's younger people in it as well. You can also always have humour in that as well because there is you know with life it's not all sort of that there is humour in everything as well. So and I can really see that in a series.
Yeah. I'd like to think there's touches of humour in the book as well. There's parts of it that are written from the perspective of like quite young children, like from a 6 year old and stuff. And I really it was very fun actually as a writer going back to my 6 year old self and thinking what was I worried about. What was I thinking? What did I, you know, worry? I worried about everything. But, you know, what was my thought processes and how did I perceive people at that age? It was very fun, actually.
Did you have to kind of lock yourself away from everything and what it was going around or a special place in the house or something like that?
It was. So when I came up with it, it was around about the March. But I was due to start writing my thesis for my MPhil, which was massive. And so I made all the notes to make sure I didn't forget, then wrote my thesis and then was like, I'm all right for writing for a bit, actually. So I left it until November, then started writing. And it then led, that was 2019, so it then led through the pandemic. So I wrote it through the pandemic, and it took me 2.5 years to get it published once it was completed. And I think it is because everybody who'd ever wanted to write a book wrote one during the lockdown because they had the time.
Yeah.
It's now our daughter's bedroom, but I used to sit in there. It was also where I used to work from home.
Yeah.
Happy days. 2022 vibes. I remember so clearly, like my husband, as he is now, he wasn't then, but he'd be like playing video games in the lounge or something, and he'd kind of creep around the corner and be like, "You're right, I've not seen you for a couple of hours." I'm like, "Yeah, good," cracking on. It's like, "Okay, I'll see you later."
Yeah. I mean, everyone says they've got a book in them, but it's putting the pen to paper, right? Probably. But I mean, if I could write even just that, the first little bit that you read out there, I'd be happy for the rest of my life. It's just your penwomanship, let me just say. It is amazing the way you write and everything. It just flows so well. And you just do not want to stop reading it. Again, I've just got to finish. I can't. I want to get home now and read the rest of the book. I just haven't had time.
Thank you so much. That's lovely.
So what's next for you now, though? At this moment, you're still going to be doing loads more promotion because it's only just come out as well.
Yeah, it came out on the 25th. So it is, what's today? Is it Tuesday, Wednesday? I don't even know.
It's August. That's
we
what
had
I know.
A whole thing, didn't we, about whether the first was a Monday or Friday? My goodness. It's Tuesday. So the walk is a week old. It's a week old.
Can hardly crawl, let alone walk yet.
I know.
Goodness me.
Imagine. So I've got some very fun kind of interviews and things. There'll be another event in Southend on the 22nd of September at Books on Sea, which is another lovely little independent bookshop. It's good, isn't it? If you're local to Southend, do pop to Books on Sea on the 22nd of September. I'll be there with some other local authors, details TBC, which would be nice, and other bits and butts and bobs, but hopefully next week I'll be moving.
And as well as your job as well. Oh goodness me.
Oh yeah, sometimes I do that. I go to work and
you
stuff,
forget don't you? Oh goodness me. Well, hopefully you'll be able to give it even though I know you love your job and what you do. Yeah, because you've been all over and you're back to your roots as well, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, it's nice. I've done lots of things and I've travelled and I've lived here, there and everywhere and done all sorts of things, but I feel like I've finally come home to in every way. And becoming a mum as well has just been the most amazing thing.
Set roots down for the whole of the family again, right?
Yeah.
Because you say your folks are still here as well, aren't they?
Yes, they're still in Billericay. Yeah, we live in Southwood and Ferrers near my husband's parents at the moment.
Yeah.
But we're moving to a small village just other side of the river. So.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
and you're going back
anyway.
To the school that you was at as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
giving back there really as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited to do that. And
are any of the teachers still there that you knew then?
A couple. Actually, one I ended up speaking to, he was like, oh, it's my job to do the newsletter. Mr. Fox, he was my A science teacher of some description. I can't remember. But yeah, he was very much still there. But yeah, there was a few. My English teacher, who actually became a very dear friend, passed away while I was in Dublin. And I flew home for his funeral. I was absolutely devastated by the loss of him, and I dedicated my thesis to him in the end. But sometimes people just, like, as much as those school years can be hell, they can be so hard, things that happen to you in those years, I feel like will kind of stay with you a long time. And sometimes it's the things and sometimes it's the people. He was the people.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was very sad to he's a great loss to the world and education in general.
It inspired you to inspire other people, and I think that's what it's about, right? It's a full circle.
Absolutely.
Listen, Emma, I could talk to you all day long, but unfortunately we've got the news coming up in a second. But seriously, you have to come back and just catch us up with other stuff that's going on. But look, I'm going to play do you like Dua Lipa? You into Dua Lipa?
I don't think I've heard any Dua Lipa. I'm kind of
okay,
stuck.
I'll put you
in
on the
90s.
Spot, didn't I? Listen, Emma Munns, thank you so much.
Thank
you.
You
can buy The Walk where?
Everywhere.
Cheers, Emma. Come back soon.
I will.